Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. There are 42 days left until the midterm elections. Is it 41 now? I might have written that yesterday. It's either 42 or 41. Until the midterm elections, and we are doing our best to get down ballot candidates on the show so you can get to know them before Election Day. And today is no different. We are joined today by Ann Rowe, who is a small business owner, community leader, and former educator running for Congress as the Democratic nominee in Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. Welcome to the show, Ann.
Wow, thank you very much, Kristen. It's a pleasure to be here.
So for people who don't know who you are, I've now checked out your website, so I know a little bit more about your background. But who are you, Ann Rowe?
Well, thank you very much for that question, and it's a good place to start. So I have lived here in Janesville, Wisconsin for the last 27 years with my husband, a pediatrician in town. We've raised both our kids here, and my 30-plus year career has featured some terrific highlights. I, as you mentioned, former educator. I taught marketing in the College of Business at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater for over 20 years. Truly a dream job. Terrific students each and every semester with great colleagues to boot. So awesome opportunity and privilege to have taught there. That really inspired my small business, which is helping students navigate their post-high school pathways. So whatever that might look like for them, whether that's school, trades, some combination, service, you know, what is gonna make the best fit for them, as well as a long history of community involvement, service, and activism, leadership here in Janesville, helping small businesses, helping community groups move forward, fundraising, support, activism to, again, you know, keep our community thriving and keep everybody in it working to move ahead, including the school district of Janesville. So I've enjoyed a great career of service and involvement, and this is the next step.
So because that's in a varied, rich career of doing a lot of different things. One of the things that's not on that list is politics, is campaigning. And so what... this is a big jump, and it's a big jump into a big race, right? And it's not starting with the local school boards or even state assembly. It is one of 8 congressional seats in Wisconsin, and in one of the few congressional districts that we have that is pretty competitive. We basically have 2. And so what motivated you to take this on?
Right. So, you know, at first glance, I think someone might say, gosh, that is a big leap. Then when you look at my long history of service, leadership, and certainly my professional experiences, it makes sense, because what I'm seeing through my business and through my teaching is that the pathways for our younger generations, including my own children, those pathways are narrowing and their options are fewer. And their anxiety, their worry level about what's coming next in terms of democracy being at risk, in terms of our planet being at risk, that takes bold action. So that is why I jumped off the sidelines to get to work. I am not a politician. I am interested in getting that work done, restoring service and support to all of the people in all of our communities of the district. And that that really is inspired by the work I did with a school district, as I mentioned, my teaching, certainly my small business, and the interactions I have with community leaders throughout the district. We need to get to work on so much, and I just cannot sit by and watch as that work is not being tackled.
You know, it's interesting because the conversation before you came on, we had someone who's much more conservative, Matt Cordio, who's a business leader in Milwaukee. And the big topic that we were trying to tackle for most of the hour was working age population in Wisconsin. There was the Forward Analytics report that came out last week that I think told us what a lot of us already know, which is a declining working age population in Wisconsin. And, you know, being from Janesville, living in Janesville, which is has an entire book that was written on it after the GM factory there closed. And it's a city that has gone through a lot of change, especially in my lifetime, because I remember going to Janesville as a kid because I grew up in Madison and it was a Big 8 conference. And I remember Janesville was always one of the tougher teams to beat in basketball. But so as far as what you've seen, like you said, for young people and the opportunities and seeing them narrowing, obviously there's big, esoteric, huge, bold action that's needed on climate change and democracy. But as far as things happening in Janesville and in and around South and Southwestern, Eastern Wisconsin, what do you see as far as priorities with younger people, especially younger people in our state?
So I definitely, you know, no surprise to anyone, I see communication, or I should say education, as a major contributor in an area of focus to provide those choices for students exiting high school. So really what always drove my business model was to make sure that students had options. Students have choices as far as their post-high school pathways. When students have choices, they tend to make better fits. It is a better fit for the institution or whatever they choose to join, and it's a better fit for themselves. So that has to be an integral piece and an integral part of focus. Healthcare. Healthcare cuts across all age groups and throughout all of our communities. And it is a balancing act. By lifting that burden of healthcare costs off the small businesses, and likewise lifting it off of the individuals, now we have businesses that can hire and expand competitively. And we have workers that can take competitive jobs that are the best fits for them. We all know people who are limited in their choices of jobs or flexibility because they are tied to a health plan that they can't afford to lose. So in treating it as an equation where we're lifting that burden off of both sides, now all of a sudden we get back to my overarching goal, which is always to match and make the best fit for individuals, workers, students, wherever they happen to be. So those are two critical pieces. And along with that, then comes those good paying jobs that people can actually support their dreams, whatever that dream happens to look like. If that is, you know, some sort of side hobby or gig, or, you know, a family or a house, whatever that dream is, you know, we've got to give people those choices and that competitive foundation so that they can move forward. Because we know when we do that, it all comes right back into our communities. And that's what keeps that motion and that forward movement for our communities. We're seeing great progress in Janesville. The downtown businesses, you know, have a tight network. They are supported not only by the group that I serve on, downtown Janesville, but the city itself and supporting agencies within that, working together and really beginning to trust each other, the communication, and, you know, finding out that there is great power in unity, and everybody benefits when we move forward in that way.
Absolutely. We're talking to Ann Rowe, who is the running for Congress as the Democratic nominee in Wisconsin's first congressional district. So how is the campaign going? I mean, obviously, this is your first time running, but what's going well? What was not what you expected it to be?
Oh, well, it is by far the most humbling experience of my entire lifetime and career. It is fantastic in that respect, learning so much. And I will tell you, last summer, when I launched the campaign, very much seen as a long shot, right? The lines weren't completed. Things were, as a lack of a better word last summer. But I will tell you, I was driven then and even more driven now. So as you know, in March, we got some redistricting. And I will tell you that the first congressional district is the bright spot. Even if you ask Governor Evers, it is the bright spot in the entire state of Wisconsin. Not sure how that happened, but we have new lines. Those new lines dropped us 8 points just like that to come within 2 points of the incumbent Republican. So that was a game changer. Certainly, sadly, in many respects, due to the Roe v. Wade decision, we have seen that gap close even further. So what was a long shot last summer is now a race that is a toss-up. So we are one of the most competitive races in the nation.
So how does that feel? No pressure?
No pressure whatsoever. None. I am so excited and so grateful for the grassroots support, the county parties, the people who have offered their help right from the get-go, who provide the encouragement, the resources. You know, make no doubt about it, we are the underdog campaign. But what as I have learned, especially in Southeast Wisconsin, people enjoy an underdog. And people enjoy someone with a proven presence and commitment to the communities who is going to go to bat for them, regardless, you know, regardless on what side of the aisle they're on. This is about bringing everybody to the table and getting everybody to move forward.
And so in the conversations you have, canvassing, talking to voters, what are you hearing from them as far as their main issues? And even more specifically, because it's a competitive district, what are you hearing from people who identify as Republicans as far as how those conversations go and what messaging you feel like actually is resonating with them as far as what you're running on?
So I think, well, what I know is from canvassing in those conversations, reproductive healthcare in general, number one, number two issue. So, and from my canvassing experience, that cut across all gender lines, it cut across all age groups. So that is first and foremost on the voters' minds. With respect to conversations with Republicans who, you know, find themselves, you know, sort of reassessing the landscape, so to speak, I have had multiple conversations throughout every week from those very Republicans who are saying, you know what, Ann, we know you, we know how hard you're going to work, and we're okay with that. We're going to get behind you. Farmers are telling me this. Historically, Republican farmers are saying, we need somebody who's going to work hard on our behalf. And while we may not all agree on every last issue, we know we can respect each other, respect those conversations, and they know that I welcome those ideas wherever they're coming from. Now, if someone's got a solid idea, I'm not going to get hung up on which side it's coming from. If it's something that we can work and we can bring back that service and support for our district and our communities, then it's worth pursuing. So I have been humbled not only by the support of Dems, but by the support of Republicans. And that is what it's going to take to bring us, again, everybody moving forward.
That's so interesting to me as far as I've asked that question of most candidates who've come on. In how do you bridge the gap? How do you have conversations with people who, you know, when you're talking on a comment section, it's very easy to pick your side and just throw grenades and call the other people names, but it's a lot harder to do that face to face. And so it's been so, I think, encouraging to hear how many candidates who will say, I knock on the door and sometimes they slam it at my face, but more times than not, we talk and maybe they'll vote for me, maybe they won't, but at least we had a conversation and they know who I am, they know what I stand for. And so I think that is so important as we try to lower the temperature and yes, try to actually get things done.
Yes. And we have to welcome those conversations, even if they're hard, and even within my own family. Those are tricky conversations, but people like to be included and they like to be invited to the conversation to begin with.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to take our first break, but when we come back, Ann Rowe will still be here. And, text us any questions you might have for her. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. And this is As Goes Wisconsin.
There are so many songs about voting.
Gotta get you into the booth, into the booth.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you, getting to lie.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Ann Rowe, who is a community leader, former educator, and running for Congress as the Democratic nominee in Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. Now, Ann, I feel like one of the things you said that stuck out to me, because I've had someone talk to me about this before, is the positioning of this idea of healthcare. And and instead of the humanity of it, and people shouldn't, you know, the idea that people shouldn't go bankrupt or be in debt because they get sick, to instead flip it on its head a little bit and make it about businesses. And I've definitely have heard that from business owners who either can't afford to provide healthcare, and so they can't grow. So if they hit a certain level of employees, they're not going to be able to afford to give them healthcare. So they they inorganically stay at a certain size. And also the workers who, because it's such a steep drop off from being able to be on Badger Care to not being on Badger Care, if they make $10 more, that they lose all their benefits, that they decline promotions, they decline more hours, because they know what the math is as far as staying at a certain level because of the thousands of dollars they wouldn't be able to make up in wages if they actually had to pay for healthcare. And so talking about this from an economic standpoint and a business standpoint, and I don't know why we don't do that more, because I feel like that ends up making a lot of sense to people.
I couldn't agree with you more, Kristen. And that is where my business background, my marketing background, you know, that's where it brings me, is to this equation that, you know, if we treat both sides and we expand those options and lift those burdens on both sides of that equation, we're going to wind up with a winning formula, because we know that small businesses are what fuel our community's growth, our tax base, our expansion. You know, that feeds our school system, which keeps great employees in the district, you know, regardless of whether or not they have children themselves. So, you know, it really is a circle of economic support. And we're missing that linchpin to help both sides of that equation, the workers, the employees, and the businesses themselves. And I've got to say that there's some Small Business Alliance here in Wisconsin. There's several groups. They've got some terrific ideas. They've got some terrific, you know, options, the way they've thought about it. And, you know, it's about bringing them to the table. And I can tell you that their political persuasions, you know, are mixed. But they see the equation, they see the work at hand, and the possibility that a solution would bring success to all. And, you know, part of the role, I think, of government services, I'm not interested in anyone's failure. I'm interested in the success of those businesses, the success of each and every individual within the district and beyond. Each person's success is what's going to fuel their own community.
I absolutely agree with that. And I think it's something that is interesting, like you said, as far as the way that people stay at jobs that they don't want to be at anymore because of what their healthcare is, the way that companies don't grow, the way that companies are burdened with that. And at one point it made sense to have companies be able to offer that as a benefit. But it also feels like handcuffs now. And I don't know what it's going to take to have, you know, it's a messaging machine as far as they're going to take away your healthcare. But when you actually break it down and talk to people, I think it makes sense as there's a better way to do this than what we're doing right now.
There truly is. And, you know, if you can reduce that anxiety and that fear, doesn't that open up avenues of productivity and creativity? And doesn't that allow the individual as well as the business to focus on the challenge at hand, which is whatever their service or their product or you know, their business is? We live under this anxiety, and I think we saw that in the pandemic. Boy, it sure revealed what we knew was sitting there, but certainly healthcare is a major piece of our my priority to move to move those communities and move our businesses forward.
To change the subject a little bit, but one of the things that I feel like has come up is the lack of debates that are happening across the ticket. We have one governor's debate, gubernatorial debate. I saw that there might now be two. I think Mandela Barnes has now agreed to two, an additional debate against Ron Johnson. I know I've heard headlines between in Congressional District 3 between Brad Paff and Derek Van Orden on town hall versus debate. Are you in your district going to have a debate?
We have at least one, and that is October 19th in studio at WCLO here in Janesville. Our team is also very hopeful that we might be able to facilitate or have some assistance facilitating a debate in person in the eastern part of the district in the Racine-Kenosha area as well. So this is the most competitive we've been in over 20 years. It's good for voters on both sides.
Great for voters.
And they deserve an audience and the option to participate and observe who their choices are. Like I said, I know which way I want it to go, but it is great for voters that we are this competitive in over two decades.
Well, it's great for voters. It's also great that you both have decided to actually debate, because as we've talked about often on this show, just having political ads inform the electorate is not a healthy way to go about voting. And so actually getting to see people and talk about their ideas, defend their ideas, and answer questions live and in person is a great thing. All right, well, we have 2 minutes left, so we're going to do our speed round, which we do with all of the candidates who come on. And so here we go. First question. First job.
Library. Shelver.
Favorite stay-at-home pandemic activity?
Painting.
Ooh. Person you would most like to meet, dead or alive?
Really? Elie Wiesel.
Nice. Something about you that would surprise people?
Well, probably many things. But I do paint. Maybe that is surprising. I don't know.
Most recent movie or TV show you'd recommend?
Andor, the new series dropping regarding Star Wars. Ooh. One of the prequels.
Favorite thing about your district?
Oh, the landscape. 100%. And the people, of course.
What's your walk-up song?
Unstoppable.
And finally, what's still on your Wisconsin bucket list?
Oh, the ice caves up in Bayfield.
Ooh, nice. I don't think we've heard that one yet. All right. Well, where can people, in the minute that we have left, where can people find you and your more information on your campaign?
Thank you so much. Ann Roe for Congress. So ANNROE. Remember, Roe is on the ballot. So that's super easy to remember. So you can check out my website there. I am on Twitter and Facebook as well. And welcome any and all support.
All right, Ann Roe, thank you so much for joining us. We will link all that information on our website. And we'll talk to you soon. Good luck with the campaign. All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. We're going to take a break and be back in a minute.